sure that our sisters had a good class at 2 o'clock. Yeah, I hear y'all talking out there. When I walked in this round three, I felt the buzz in the room. I knew you guys had been engaging in study of the word. So we're always glad to be able to study God's word. And I think it's important for us to ask the question, what about the women? I think that's important. We know that for years, women have been the lifeline of the body of Christ. So it's important for us to recognize and do everything that we can to be able to feed every member of the body of Christ, but to feed our Christian women. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad that you all came back after being with us this morning. I believe that God moved in a powerful way this morning. And we were able to see that we are here for each other, that we all have our night times, but we are here for one another. I hope that's a message that we all take seriously, and I hope that as we begin to listen to those of our friends and our loved ones and our brothers and sisters who came this morning and asked requests for prayer, I hope that our mind begin to think about how can I support? How can I be standing in the gap? How can I help my brother? How can I help my sister as it relates to their nighttime? If you would, please, and I'm for real this time. I ain't going to hold you long, I promise. I promise. I'm serious. With the kids, for real. If you would, please turn your Bibles to the first chapter of Romans. And if you would, look at the 16th verse. And I love this verse. I think it's one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. But Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is God's own power for salvation to all who have faith in God. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. God's righteousness is being revealed in the gospel for faithfulness, for faith. And it is written, the righteous person will live by faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I would like to pull from that text a sermon title, Confident but Not Arrogant. Confident but Not Arrogant. Paul writes to the people in Romans, and if you read verses 1 through 15, you realize that he lays out what the gospel actually is. If you start off in verse 1 and go through verse 6, it talks about that I am a slave or I'm a servant of God, and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that Jesus was prophesied many, many years before he came, and that he was introduced into the world as the Son of God, and he himself, his death, burial, and resurrection is what will save us. That's what Paul talks about. And then in verses 5 through verses 14, he begins to talk about his personal letter to the Church of Rome. He said, I just can't wait to see y'all. But I'm out here working, and I'm out here working to try to save as many as I can. And I'm out here because I have a responsibility to not only to the Jew, but also to the Greek. And then he gets to verse 16, and he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And I think we have to understand what he means when he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He's saying, I am proud of the gospel. I have complete confidence in the gospel. Amen. Now, I want you to, the reason why the sermon title is Confident but Not Arrogant is because what I want us to understand is that Paul says, I am proud of what? The gospel. I have complete confidence in what? The gospel. See, Paul is speaking when he talks about his pride, when he talks about his confidence. He's only speaking as it relates to the gospel. Paul is not talking about his own merit or his own ability to save. We know Paul's history. We know that Paul was a Roman, was a Jew. We know that Paul was a Roman citizen. We know that Paul was an influential Roman citizen. We know all of those things about Paul. We know that at one point in time, he himself actually persecuted Christians, right? So Paul had something about him. He had a pedigree that could have allowed him to be arrogant. But Paul is not talking about himself. He's saying, I have full confidence. I am proud. I am not ashamed of the gospel. And I think we can learn a lot from him, not just saying I'm not ashamed, but what he's not ashamed of. Because sometimes what happens to us is that we have the gospel and we have the ability to save and we have the power to save by sharing the gospel. But when we become confident, we're not confident in the gospel, we're confident in ourselves. And what happens as a result is that we begin to have an air about ourselves as it relates to saving. We begin to have an air about ourselves as it relates to God's work, as it relates to the church. But I want us to be confident in the gospel, but not arrogant in our own selves. Because if we become arrogant because of what we know, we then turn people away from what Jesus has done. So this message is one, it's really, really simple. Be confident in the gospel. But then the question is, if I'm confident in the gospel, then what is the gospel? And it's important for us to understand that the gospel is very, very simple. The gospel is not the church. The gospel is not you and I. The gospel is not what we do on as it relates to the table. The gospel is not how we sing. The gospel is not how we give. What is it that we should have the most confidence in? Jesus. I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is this. There was a perfect man who was sent down by his father. He lived here with us for 33 years or so. During that time, he was tempted by all ways. He was tempted in every manner of temptation, yet did not sin. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He resisted the devil. He then was hung, bled, and died on the cross. His death was for your sins and mine. He died. He was buried. He rose again 3 days later. And when he rose with the keys of hell and the keys of death in his hand. That's the gospel. That's it. When we go and we attempt to teach people and we begin to share the word, we should be confident in that. In what Jesus has done for us. That's simple. Sometimes we overcomplicate what it means or what is needed in order for us to be members of the body of Christ. We overcomplicate what people need to do. We overcomplicate the message. And that's the reason why we call it the gospel, but when it comes from our mouths, it's no longer good news. See, because what happens is we begin to add to the good news. But the good news is really simple. Is Jesus. And every place we see people being converted, and throughout the book of Acts, anytime we see the conversion story, we always see Jesus. If somebody would, if we were to go and look at, I think, Philippians, the 8th chapter, and you know that there's about the Ethiopian eunuch, right? You know the story. The Bible says that the Ethiopian eunuch was coming from Jerusalem. He was coming from worship. And he was reading and studying his Bible throughout, or studying the Word of God. It wasn't a Bible then, but he was studying the Word of God throughout his travels. And he says that Philip came to him and he said, "What is it that you study?" And he said, "What do you read?" He said, "Well, how do I know what I read unless somebody is to teach me?" And then the Bible says that he started from that scripture and taught him what? Jesus. That's it. Jesus. He didn't start teaching him nothing else but Jesus. Why did he start teaching him Jesus? Because he was teaching him the very best thing we have to offer. And you know, when you go into an interview, if you ever go into an interview, what do? You put your best suit on, you put your best smile on, you clean yourself up real nice, go get a haircut, get your hair did, right? You put your good cologne on, a perfume, you get yourself all ready, and you go to present yourself. And when you go to present yourself, you don't go present yourself like you look on Friday night right before you go to bed and you got your hair all wrapped up looking a mess. You give people the very best that you have. Is that correct? Amen. When you go out on a date, you go out on your first date, you get all snazzy. You know, you start to make sure that, you know, that you're looking good when you're talking to your female friend or your male friend. You're trying to make sure that you conjugate all your verbs. Right, you want to speak clearly, you want to talk real good, you might want to make sure your breath don't stink, all of those things. Why? Because you're presenting the very best that you have. Y'all follow me? Every place you go, when you're trying to make an impression on somebody, you give them the very best. Well, why do you say that, Brother Mason? Well, because when we go share, we should share the very best thing that we know, and that is Jesus. So don't be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power to save. Amen. Have confidence in the gospel. We are faced with opportunities on a regular basis to share the word of God. We are faced with opportunities on a daily basis to be able to invite others to our fellowship, to invite others to be able to have a relationship with God. Amen. The question is, why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? What is many times because we just overcomplicate the message. Don't overcomplicate the message. Or many times because we will rather display ourselves than to display the message of Christ. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I want you all, as you go through this week, if you don't have confidence in anything else, have confidence, complete confidence. Be proud of the gospel. When people ask you about the Hart Street Church of Christ, tell them about Jesus. Whatever you do, don't tell them about Darwin. Don't tell them about Brother Jones. Don't tell them about us, because we are men. We are flawed. Don't tell them about Brother Proud. Don't tell them about Brother Dave. Don't tell them about, yeah, we probably pretty good leaders, but that's not why we gonna let them down. See, man is going to let them down regardless. On my best day, I don't have the power to save. When you go out, tell them about Jesus. Don't just invite them to the Hart Street Church of Christ. Invite them to learn about Jesus. Invite them to a place where they can engage in a relationship with a man and with a God who was willing to give his son for your sins. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. If you are not a member of the Church of Christ and you're here today, that is the story. That's all we want you to do. There's much more that you can learn about the church. There's much more that you can learn about the church, and learn about Hart Street, learn about doctrinal issues, things that you'll learn as you grow and as you mature. But to start off, all you need to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You ever notice that when we take confessions before baptisms, we never say, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that we should sing without instruments, and that we only take the communion on the first day of the week, and that we don't do all of that, do we? Because that's not where we start. We say, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And that is within itself the gospel. If you believe that and you have not responded to the Savior's invitation, you can do so. If you are a member of the body of Christ and you've fallen by the wayside, or you have had multiple opportunities to share just that good news, but you have been more concerned about your own being, more arrogant, more proud of yourself than you have been of the gospel, this is the opportunity for you to repent or to ask for prayers so that we can help each other as we carry along this banner of Christ. You can do that right this minute as we stand and sing the song of invitation.